Utsanga Narado Jagye. Dakshon Gushtat Swayam Bhuvaha. Pranad Vashishtak Sanjato. Bhrigus Twachi Karat Kratuhu. At Utsangan Narado Jagye. Dakshon Gushtat Swayambhuvaha. Pranad Vasishtat Sanjato. Bhrigus Twachi Karat Kratuhu. Utsangat. By transcendental liberation.
I said liberation.
It's the opposite of liberation. Narada.
Mahamuni Narada.
Jagye. Was generated. Dakshaha.
Daksha.
Angushtat.
From the thumb.
Swayambhuvaha. Of Brahma.
Foot off the book.
Pranad.
From the life air or breathing.
Vasishtaha.
Vasishta.
Sanjataha.
Was born.
Bhriguhu. The sage Bhrigu.
Twachi.
From the touch.
Karat.
From the hand.
Kratuhu.
The sage Kratu. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Narada was born from the deliberation of Brahma, which is the best part of his body. Vasishtha was born from his breathing. Daksha from a thumb. Bhrigu from his touch. And Kratu from his hand. Purport. Narada was born from the best deliberation of Brahma, because Narada was able to deliver the Supreme Lord to anyone he liked. The Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be realized by any amount of Vedic knowledge or by any number of penances. But a pure devotee of the Lord, like Narada, can deliver the Supreme Lord by his good will. The very name Narada suggests that he can deliver the Supreme Lord. Nara means the Supreme Lord, and Da means one who can deliver. Thus he can deliver the Supreme Lord. That he can deliver the Supreme Lord does not mean that the Lord is like a commodity that can be delivered to any person. But Narada can deliver to anyone the transcendental loving service of the Lord as a servitor, friend, parent, or lover, as one may desire out of one's own transcendental love for the Lord. In other words, it is Narada only who can deliver the path of bhakti yoga, the highest mystic means for attainment of the Supreme Lord. These other sages are mentioned, but they're more or less outsiders. Name vidur surgana prabhavam namaharshayaha. The great demigods and the principal rishis, there are many rishis of different categories, but the great rishis, these seven rishis, are the chief rishis. Even they don't know my origin, and they don't know my real nature. But Narada does. By virtue of his devotion, his pure heart, he didn't go the same path that his brothers went. Most of the brothers of Narada, beginning with Marichi, who's mentioned in the previous verse, and these other sages, are Karmakandis. They, for one thing, they were all householders. But even worse than that, they were addicted to ritualistic work,
for promotion to a better material situation. Following the Vedic system of sacrifice, faithfully, but with material desires, desires for success in the material world. And not much interest even in liberation, but to speak of devotion to the personality of Godhead. So they're materialists. In the broadest sense, they're worshipped by all pious Brahmins. They daily offer their tarpana, their oblations to the great rishis. And we owe them a debt. Vedic knowledge is coming from these rishis. But Vedeshu Dulama Madulama Bhatma Bhakto, the Supreme Lord can't be understood by any amount of, says right here, Prabhupada says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be understood by any amount of Vedic knowledge or by any number of penances. So these rishis, all 10 of them, and their other rishis who come after them, they are famous and they're glorified for their Vedic knowledge and for their power to perform great austerities. Even though they're householders, and they're not householders begetting children like rabbits. They perform great austerities and then they beget children. Still, Narada is in a whole different category. Marici and the others are not empowered. They may be devotees, despite their addiction to ritualistic Vedic sacrifices, they still can be Vaishnavas. Especially in Satya Yuga, one can worship the Lord by performing, rather than Treta Yuga. Satya Yuga by meditation and Treta Yuga by Tretayamya Jatoma Kai, by performing these Vedic sacrifices. That is the process of devotional service in the Treta Yuga. So the sages were prominent and they're in the devotional mood, especially in the Treta Yuga. Still, they may be devotees, they may be Vaishnavas, and they may save themselves, but they're not empowered to deliver the Supreme Lord to others. That takes a special person like Narada, who's practically the personification of bhakti. Prabhupada explains that the personality of Godhead is not a material commodity that can be delivered to just anybody. Even if you have him, you can't just give him to anybody. Possessing the Supreme Lord is only possible by virtue of pure devotion. Krishna Akarshan, Gaur, try to keep your feet off the book, the sacred books of the prasadam. Simple principle. Okay? Your feet are in the dirty part of your body. Krishna Akarshani Chasa is special, the most special quality of Shuddha Bhakti, that no other power, no other discipline has this capacity. Krishna Akarshani Chasa. The pure devotional service can attract Krishna himself. Pure devotional service is the expression, the manifestation of Krishna's internal pleasure potency, who alone has the capacity to attract him, to bring him under control. That cannot be done. You cannot possess the Supreme Lord on the strength of anything else. You can't buy him with money, or with knowledge, or with austerity, with anything. So therefore, a pure devotee can't deliver the Supreme Lord to just anyone. The Supreme Lord is not available as a commodity that you can just control by the force of physical power or money or influence. You may be able to control everyone. Even Hiranyakashipu was able by his austerities to gain the power to control the whole universe, including all the sages and demigods were under his control. But the Supreme Lord never comes under anyone's control like that. Any demon or demigod or sage cannot bring the Supreme Lord under control. Only those who have pure devotion. Get the foot off the book. I'm serious about it. I'll throw the book away. That's okay. Just don't put your foot on it. How does one get that pure devotion? That is, these The secret of that is known by Narada. Therefore, he's established this sampradaya. Brahma is the original founder acharya, but his first disciple is Narada. So we're all, Prabhupada actually made a statement that we're all standing on the shoulders of Narada Muni, meaning that he's the foundation of our sampradaya. Actually, he's involved, I think, in all four sampradayas. He manages to become a member of all four sampradayas. They all claim Narada Muni. Because he knows how to perform devotional service, but more than that, he knows how to teach others, conditioned souls, how to perform devotional service. He has his special tricks. Amayo yascha bhutanam jayate yena suvrita tadeva yamayam dravyam napunati chikritsitam. So he teaches this principle, homeopathic principle. The same substance that causes a disease, when applied therapeutically, frees you from the disease. That's the principle of homeopathic therapy. You know, the same thing that makes you sick can cure you when titrated, when diluted and used in the proper way. So, evam dvinam kriya yoga. Similarly, the kriya yogas, which here just generally means very simply the disciplines that people accept. Yoga does mean discipline. That there are spiritual disciplines and there are mundane disciplines, material disciplines. The fruitive workers also accept discipline, even those who don't have any connection with the system of Vedic sacrifice, even the Mleches, totally materialistic people. They do perform austerities. A man has to accept discipline in order to become successful in business. He has to get up early in the morning, he has to work hard, commute a great distance. Accept so many austerities for material purpose. So that's Kriya Yoga. That's a discipline you accept in carrying out your material endeavors. So, Sarve Samsuti Hetavaha. These are all the causes of our bondage to the cycle of birth and death. Taiv Atma Vinashaya Kalpante Kalpita Pare. These same causes of our bondage, our fruitive attachments, our the restrictions we accept in our life for working fruitively. I accept employment. I work hard. I forego pleasures and freedom in order to achieve my material goals. These same causes of entanglement become self-destructive. They become the cause of their own destruction when they are dovetailed to the service of the Supreme. Kalpante kalpita pare. So that is Narada's secret method of teaching conditioned souls how to serve, how to engage in the Supreme Lord's service. He teaches it in the Bhagavatam, he teaches it in the Narada Pancharatra. Brahma and Narada are among the most frequent speakers in the Bhagavatam. I haven't made a count, maybe Ekana Prabhu did, of who speaks how many verses in the Bhagavatam, but I'm sure Brahma and Narada are way up on the top, near the top of the list, especially Narada is the speaker, the preacher. In so many places in the Bhagavatam. He has so many things to say to so many people. He has so many disciples whom he's given instruction to. Brahma also, he's speaking to Narada and to a few others in the Bhagavatam. So there's a connection. Brahma and Narada are singled out here in this text of the Bhagavatam as special persons, distinguished from the other sons of Brahma. And those two, Brahma and Narada, they happen to have a special connection with Srimad Bhagavatam. That we have already studied in Canto 2, gives the history. Cantos 1 and 2 give the history of the Bhagavatam, tracing it back at the end of the second canto to Brahma, originally hearing, condensed version, four verses, from Lord Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Actually, from Narayan in Vaikuntha. You know what that is? Toe on the book. Can't you keep your foot off the book? Anyway. And Narada heard the entire Bhagavatam from Brahma and taught it to Vyasadeva, actually. First he ordered Vyasadeva to conceive of the Bhagavatam in his meditation. But I think, Prabhupada, I'm almost sure Prabhupada mentioned somewhere that Narada also actually spoke the whole Bhagavatam to Vyasadeva. And Narada not only gave instruction to Vyasadeva, he also gave him Diksha, initiation. He gave him his Vaishnava mantra. So, in both senses, Diksha Guru, Shiksha Guru, Narada is, you know, the founder of our Sampradaya. And he's taking his birth here. And he's singled out as someone very special, even from the first mention of his birth. Okay, so are there any questions or comments? Yes.
In any of the Sampradayas, is the Bhagavatam also like the
Yes, in all four Orthodox Vaishnava Sampradayas, the Bhagavatam is recognized as supreme authority. But in practice, it's not always given the same emphasis that we give. Just like in the Madhva Sampradaya, who we're officially connected with, they actually give first precedence to the authority of the Vedanta Sutra. Yes, even though the Madhva did teach the Bhagavatam as perfect Purana, perfect authority. And he himself wrote a commentary on the Bhagavatam and gave much attention to the Bhagavatam. And there are other commentaries written in the Madhva Sampradaya, but still, there are principles taught in the Bhagavatam which they don't recognize. They give sort of skewed interpretation of the emphasis on prema as the ultimate goal of life. According to Madhva's teaching, mukti is the ultimate goal of life, liberation. That's taught in the Vedanta Sutra. But Bhagavatam teaches otherwise, that beyond mukti there is the ultimate goal. The fifth, doesn't say in so many words, the fifth goal of life. But there are many statements, many, you know, presentations of the idea in the Bhagavatam that the ultimate purpose of life is devotional service, pure devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not just liberation. So the Madhvites actually won't accept it. They accept bhakti as the prime sadhana, prime means to getting liberation, but liberation is the goal. Because they take their prime authority to be the Vedanta Sutra, and therefore they actually in practice, in application, they only give secondary, you know, importance to the Bhagavatam.
They kind of want Vaikuntha liberation?
Not even that.
Sahaja?
Not even, not, well, yes, they do, but their idea of Sahaja is not the personal Sahaja. They want mukti, but mukti is not, the location of mukti is not clearly defined. They don't have much of a concept of the spiritual world. We can get the foot off the book. Do you think I'm okay? We can think, understand that Madhvacharya himself is a demigod. So he's presenting son of Vayu. He's presenting the viewpoint of the demigods, who are residents of this world, who are not candidates for liberation very soon. Even if they earn liberation, they can't actually cash in on it until they finish their term of employment as demigods, which is millions of years. Even if they become qualified for liberation. So Madhvacharya talks about a very gradual kind of liberation that takes 100 lifetimes. And you have to become Lord Brahma. You have to work your way up the scale of demigods and become Lord Brahma. Then you can have liberation. And there's no real understanding of what exists outside the material universe.
in Madhva's teachings, in the teaching of his followers. That we find in the Sri Sampradaya, the Vaikuntha consciousness. But Madhva consciousness is, Madhva philosophy, Madhva Sampradaya's worldview is mostly the worldview of the demigods, still in the material world. Although mukti is the goal. Yeah, but that's what I found. Yeah. Reading Madhva's books and reading some of their other books and talking with them, that's what they actually believe. They give lip service to the Bhagavatam, but they slant their interpretation of the Bhagavatam based on their principles, which they take first of all from the Vedanta Sutra. Vedanta Sutra does not, you know, put more emphasis on the idea of mukti. You know, doesn't openly discuss prema bhakti. Although prema bhakti, the understanding of prema bhakti is drawn out of it by Baladeva Vibhushan in his Govinda Bhashya, but it's not explicit. It's not at all obvious in the text of the Vedanta Sutra.
What about in the Sri Sampradaya?
So Sri Sampradaya is the Ramanuja Sampradaya. So that Sampradaya, they have the consciousness of Vaikuntha, so they are preaching love of God as the goal of life. But they have, you know, some realization of what that is. Nimbarka Sampradaya, the modern Nimbarka Sampradaya seems to be copying Lord Chaitanya's movement, leaving out Lord Chaitanya. The original teachings of Nimbarka, as we can tell from his Vedanta Sutra commentary, are somewhat, not contrary, not contradictory, but he doesn't openly discuss Radha Krishna and loving devotional service to Radha Krishna. His later followers. So it seems like they superimposed a new version of the philosophy, and it wasn't what Nimbarka originally taught anyway.
Oh, okay. So he wasn't so explicit in Radha Krishna at the
end. Yes, he wasn't.
They're very, these days it seems like they're right into that.
They are, but it doesn't seem to be what was originally taught by their founder.
Does the Bhagavatam have like a prominent place in the Sri and in Baka?
Yes.
They
have their commentaries, and they do study it. Madhvites also study it,
yeah.
But they impose their own interpretation on it.
Is it like a main book for them in the Sri?
Yes, a main book.
Yeah.
But they follow what they call the Ubhaya Vedanta. Vedanta in both Sanskrit and in Tamil. So the ancient Tamil poets, the Alwars, wrote their transcendental devotional poetry. That came before Ramanuja wrote his Vedanta Sutra commentary. But even in that ancient tradition, the Bhagavatam, most of the pastimes described by the Alwars in their poetry are based on what's taught in Srimad Bhagavatam. So there's the Sri Vaishnava tradition, going even way before Ramanuja, is steeped in the Bhagavatam. And they still study it, but they have other books also. They also have an emphasis on preaching from Vedanta Sutra, or debating on the basis of it. And we have the commentary by Viraghava Acharya on Srimad Bhagavatam, the Prabhupada sometimes quotes in the Sri Sampradaya.
I heard about him that he could verify the different, he personally went and verified the different explanations of what he said. He had some mystical power.
Viraghava Acharya?
Yeah,
I don't know anything about that. Could be. He had a lot to say in the fifth canto.
Yeah. Is there time for one last question?
Yeah.
Okay. Something, the Rudra Sampradaya, they sometimes say that, that part of that is, Vallabhacharya's Pushti Mag.
Yes.
Rudra. Is it really?
Well, even by according to their history, it's sort of coincidental. Balabhacharya, what they say is that Balabhacharya, winning many debates in his travels, was offered the Acharya position in two sampradayas. Actually, they say that I read yesterday that he was offered the position of head of the Madhva Sampradaya, but I don't know if that's correct. And maybe some other Sampradaya. And then the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya. Not Rudra Sampradaya, Vishnu Swami Sampradaya. That's Rudra Sampradaya. So, according to them, it's just that, he happened to be there and they offered him the job. He didn't previously have any connection with them. He was already established. He already had his own philosophy. He picked, and they say that he picked the Rudra Sampradaya instead of the other one because it was close to his own ideas. Vishnu Swami, we don't know much about him. It's said that his books were destroyed by the Buddhists. In effect, his Sampradaya was destroyed. So his commentaries and other books not existing anymore. His Sampradaya basically went underground and went out of business. And it was revived, or it was the Balabhacharya claimed.